Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew, the book of Matthew. I want you to look in your Bibles, please, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1 and verse 21. Matthew, chapter number 1 and verse 21. And I want to read a brief passage here. Thank you again for all that you've done for our family. And already we've got some Christmas cards. I appreciate that and the kindness, the gifts, whatever. God's been so good to us. Notice in the book of Matthew, I mentioned guests, didn't mention Vicky's home tonight, today. I'm glad she's up here. But in Matthew chapter 1, one verse, if you will, please, in verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. I want you to do something for me. I want you, if you underline your Bible, I want you to underline three words. His name, Jesus. In my Bible, my King James Bible, Jesus is in all capital letters. Is it that way in yours? His name, Jesus. His name. I have just had that little thought. I told Brother David this morning, have you ever had a little thought? I said, I've had a little thought all this week long. His name. His name. We're talking about a sovereign God. And Brother Barry did a fantastic job last night talking about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son. When did Jesus come on the scene? And when did was he separated from the Father? Was it just on the cross, or was it for his whole life here on the earth? But he's God. Jesus is God incarnate in human flesh. His name shall be called Jesus. Jesus, what a wonderful name. Boy, that just doesn't that just bless you when you say that name, Jesus? Some of you in the radio audience, in the internet audience, some of you here in the building, boy, that blesses your heart. There's something about that name. I love that song. There's something about that name. His name shall be called Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ came in this world, and His name, called Jesus. Will you bow with me before prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now, God, help me. God, I pray I'd give you everything I am. I pray, God, you take my mind and my body and my lips and my voice. And God, I pray that you speak through me. God, nothing eternal take place if the Holy Ghost of God doesn't do it. But I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts. Our Father, in the strong name of Jesus, I plead the blood over this place. Rebuke every devil and every demon. This is your place. God, these are your people. And I, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd sanctify it with your presence. I want to thank you for that name. Thank you that you, as sovereign God, would be clothed in human flesh and take that name, Jesus. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, God, to make it real to us this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you have a concordance or not, strong concordance. I was talking to Brother Donnie the other day, and somebody had given him a Strong's Analytical Concordance. If you take a concordance and look up the word Jesus in your Bible, you'll find that just in the New Testament, of course, in the New Testament, there are over 1,000 references to Jesus. This book's full of Jesus, not just the New Testament, the Old Testament. You remember what he said? He said to those people in that day lived, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, they which testify of me. So Jesus is all in the Old Testament, but that name Jesus is used over 1,000 times in this New Testament. The writers of the Gospels wrote that name. And they, if you look at the concordance, you'll see Jesus said, Jesus did, Jesus came, Jesus spoke, Jesus did that. Everything's Jesus all the way through. 1,000 times in this New Testament you hear that name Jesus. And it says in this passage of Scripture I'm reading to you here, it said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. And you know what? I got this big idea. I think the Holy Ghost did it. And I said, I think I'm going to go through and I'm going to get all the times when people called his name Jesus. I shocked when I began to go through the Bible and try to find all the times when people addressed him as Jesus. Now, I don't doubt they didn't. He was born. He lived a childhood and 10 years there in Nazareth. I believe that they called him Jesus. But I'm talking about what's recorded in the Bible. They called him Lord. They called him Master. They called him Rabbi. But there are very few people in the Bible who ever addressed him directly with his earthly name, Jesus. I began to go through that. And there are a lot of people who make reference to him. I thought I'd just call your attention to a few that where people made reference to him before I show you a few of those where people addressed him directly with that name. People call me Brother Billy. They call me preacher. Brother Ward and I were talking about the other night about the Trinity, and he said, you know, one way that he helps to explain it and it helped him is that Brother Ward Taylor is a husband. He's Ward Taylor, and he's a husband, and he's a daddy, and he's all three of those things, but he's one person. And so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Trinity is one person. But when Jesus is on the earth, he bore that name Jesus. And yet when I went through, I found very few people who ever called him Jesus. They very few ever addressed him as Jesus. Oh, they referred to him as Jesus all the time. Like I said, 1,000 times you'll find his name in the New Testament. And as the writers wrote and as individuals were talking. And for instance, I want you to just look at a few of these with me. And starting in the Gospel of John. Take your Bible. We're flipping the Bible right much this morning. And I hope you'll look at it with me. In John chapter 6, I want you to notice what it says in John chapter 6 is about how people refer to him in general terms, I guess you'd say, as they refer to him. But in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ has come on the scene and he's fed 5,000 people. And then he has described himself as the bread of life. He is the bread come down from heaven that people to eat and nourish and be blessed. And thank God for that. But then when you come into John chapter 6, look down at verse 38. He said, I came down from heaven. Not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which I have that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Now you say, Brother Billy, what's the will of God? It's the will of God for every person, the sound of my voice here in the building, radio audience, everywhere, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's God's will for you. That's God's will. He wants you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. It's his will for you to believe. You say, I want to do God's will. His will, first thing, is that you trust his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But now let's follow a little bit further in this reading. I read verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? You see, here's somebody who addressed it or who identified him as Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from the sin. But here they say, Jesus, he's just the son of Joseph. He's just a man. And the tragic thing is, a lot of people, they react to him like he's just a man. Not that he's sovereign God, not that he's holy God, but they react to him like he's just a man. This is Jesus is Joseph's son. We know him. He's just like us. He's no different. No, this is Jesus, Joseph's son. Look over in chapter number 12 of the Gospel of John, while you're in the Gospel of John, and let's look at another passage of Scripture. In John chapter 12, I want you to look at verse number 21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. His name is Jesus. Notice in chapter number 12, if you will, please, I call your attention to verse number 21. There's a group of people who come, and when they come, they with this statement, John chapter 12, verse 21, then came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sirs, we would see Jesus. Now, that's not direct address, but they call him by name. They say, we want to see Jesus. We're not interested in seeing Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. We want to see Jesus. Well, that's a good thought, isn't it? I sure would love to see Jesus. I'd like to know him. I want to hear what he's got to say. I've heard about him, everything else. I'm not going to be satisfied with second best. I won't see Jesus. Well, what happens in this situation? It never says that they have an audience with Jesus. But Jesus just begins to talk, and they're right close by, I guess, and he's talking. And again, he's talking about himself and talking about who he is and that how he's going to be crucified. Look at verse number 32 in that same chapter. And I, he said, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. That would mean Jew. It would mean Greek. It would mean all of us. He said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. He referred, the Bible says, to signify his manner of death. He was going to die on the cross. I had a professor one time in a liberal Southern Baptist college to tell our class that it didn't matter how Jesus died. Anyway, he'd have died, it'd have been all right. But he's already told him how he's going to die before he ever died. He's going to be raised up on that cross and suffer and bleed and die, give his soul an offering for sin. But to these people who came to see him, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. I'll draw Greeks and I'll draw everybody. That's why they showed up. But I want to show you the tragic thing about that in this passage of Scripture. He said, we've come to see Jesus. But look at verse number 37 and see what it says. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. God's been so good. God's blessed us. You hear his name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And a lot of people have a curiosity about him. They go to church out of curiosity. Oh, they're around. They got questions. They just out of their own intellect, they want to ask questions. But in spite of all that Jesus does and all that Jesus did and all that Jesus has shown us through all these years, they believe not. Notice what the Bible said. And it said, yet they believe not on him. And so it's not enough for you to have a desire to know more about God. It's not enough for you to be close to God. It's not enough for you to hear the teaching about God. But the thing is this, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come to where you know him. Jesus, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Will you go over a little bit further? Go back to the book of Matthew. Turn back in your Bible in the book of Matthew. And I want you to look at chapter number 21. Matthew chapter 21, where we started out with our text verse this morning. But look at Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 11. Now you hang with me. I like Brother Barry now. I'm going somewhere if you'll hang with me a few minutes. This is the longest introduction you'll ever hear. And I'll preach to you in just a few minutes. But notice in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 11. Verse 21 and verse number 11. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Sometimes they identified him as Jesus, Joseph's son. Sometimes he's just Jesus, the one we're curious about, but yet they don't believe on. And sometimes he's called Jesus the prophet. And you know what? You know what Islam says? Jesus is a prophet. They don't have any problem with Jesus being a prophet. They just said there's another fellow came after him that had more light than he did. But Jesus is not just a prophet. He's a prophet. He's a priest. He's a great physician. But Jesus Christ is God incarnate in human flesh. You say, well, he's a great teacher. I believe in the teachings of Jesus. I accept what Jesus said in moral living and standards and all those things. That's a wonderful thing, but you'll die and go to hell just believing in moral teachings. You must see him as more. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Not Jesus, the son of Joseph. Not Jesus, the prophet. Not Jesus, the man, but Jesus, the Savior. That's what makes the difference. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And here they say he's just a prophet, just a prophet. But I want us to go back to the Gospel of John. Go back to the Gospel of John. The address of Jesus, that name Jesus, in his life, they saw him as Joseph's son. They saw him as a good man. They saw him as a prophet. They saw him as somebody to be curious about, or somebody that was a great teacher. But notice in John chapter 17, this is an occasion just prior to going into the garden. Here in John chapter 17 is what we call the great high priestly prayer. This is, in fact, the prayer of the Lord. It is the Lord's prayer. In John chapter 17, there's one little phrase I want to show you. In chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus is praying. And he's praying to the Father. Let me look at verse number 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. He's talking to God the Father. And he said, you've given him, Jesus, power of all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus took that name himself. While he was on the earth, he's praying to the Father, and he said, here it is, that they need to know Jesus Christ. They need to know me. He identified himself as Jesus. He could have said, I'm the creator. He could have said, I'm the sovereign of the universe. I'm the one who makes everything keep on whirling around. But he said, I'm Jesus. In his prayer, identified himself as Jesus, the Savior. You know what he's thinking about? That old song says, when he's on the cross, eyes on his mind. No long time for that. Even before the foundation of the world, Jesus knew he was coming to suffer and bleed and die. And he said, I'm Jesus. Notice a little further. in John chapter 18. Turn a little bit further. In John chapter 18 that we saw through the eyes of Peter, they come to the garden. Judas is leading them. And notice, if you will, please, in John chapter number 18, verse number 1. Well, I won't read the whole passage for the sake of time now. But they come to arrest Jesus. And will you skip down and notice what Jesus said in verse 4? Therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Who are you looking for? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't address him personally as Jesus. They said, we're just looking for Jesus. But watch what Jesus said. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. I am Jesus. I'm him. Verse number 6. And as soon as they heard, as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell on the ground. I'm him. That name. What a powerful name. I'm Jesus. I am Jesus. And he said, I'm the one you're looking for. My name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. They called him son of Joseph. They called him a prophet. They called him just a normal man. But he said, I am Jesus. My name is Jesus. Look, if you will, please, over in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 27. If you'll go back to the book of Matthew. Hang with me now. Matthew chapter number 27. In chapter number 27, he's been taken in the garden. I just read to you. And in chapter number 27, and we pick up down at verse number 17. And here's how this all works out. He comes to take Jesus, and he comes before Pilate. And in chapter number 27, at verse 17, listen to what it says. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will you that are released unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ? Now notice this. Many saw him as a prophet. Some saw him as a pretender. And here he said, he is somebody that's called the Christ. He didn't identify him as the Christ. He said, he's just called the Christ. Know about him, heard about him, but don't know him personally. Jesus. He's not addressing him directly, but he says, this is Jesus the Christ. Some called him Christ, the Messiah, the Holy, Anointed, the one that would come. Notice a little further in this same chapter. Look at verse 35 of Matthew 27. And there crucified him and parted his garment and cast lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down they watched him there. And they set over his head an accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Period. You know what that meant? That was his epitaph. Pilate said, this is Jesus, period. We're through with him. The Jews said, this is Jesus, period. We're through with him. That name doesn't mean, it's like anybody else's name. Over in the cemetery, go over there. Only to those immediately related do those names mean a lot. You can look and you see different names over there. But to them, it doesn't mean anything. This is epitaph, Jesus. This is it, period. We're through with him now. I don't have to worry about this anymore. I don't have to deal with this rebel anymore. I don't have to, the Jews didn't have to persecute him anymore. They didn't have to worry about him drawing people out from Judaism anymore. Period. This is Jesus, King of Jews. That's it. We're through with him. But his name is Jesus, and he is the Savior. He came into this world to save sinners. Notice what happens. Look a little further, if you will, please, in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 5. Angel, his name's going to be called Jesus. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. His name's Jesus. He's the resurrected one. He's the crucified one. He's Jesus. But then to go a little further, look at the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, here's this introduction to the New Testament, the work of the Holy Ghost in the book of the New Testament. And in Acts chapter 1, listen to this. When they are assembled together and he's recounting what had happened, he said this in Acts chapter 1. Notice verse 10. And it said this. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, that's Jesus goes up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing to heaven? For this same Jesus, the same one that they called Joseph's son, the same one they called a prophet, the same one they called a man, the same one they called the Christ, the same one that they accused as being a pretender and a glutton, this same Jesus. That same Jesus they crucified. That same Jesus they nailed on that cross and said, this is Jesus, King of the Jews, period. That's his epitaph. That same Jesus. That same Jesus that the angel said, he's not here, he's risen. That same Jesus. What's he going to do? That same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The same Jesus is coming. It's going to be, you know what he's going to come back? You know how, what his name's going to be when he comes back? Jesus. You know who's sitting right hand of the Father right now? Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. And I mean, it's going to be called Jesus. It's going to be called Jesus. It's going to be called Jesus. He's the Savior. He's King. You say, Brother Billy, what's all that about? I want you to understand that in this Bible, he's identified a lot of different ways. But the angel said to Joseph and to Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus. But yet in his earthly life, very few people ever walked up to him and called him Jesus. You go through and you find them. You find them. Now, I'm going to be brief. I'm fixing to preach my sermon. I got 4 minutes. You say, Brother Billy, who called him Jesus? I want you to find in your Bible the book of Luke, where the Christmas story is at. But I want you to go over to chapter number 4 now. Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, notice this passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 4, verse number 34. Listen to what the Word of God says. As the Lord Jesus Christ has been loving and serving people. And he said, he comes into the synagogue. And there's a man there, verse number 33. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? The first person in the Bible that ever identified him by his earthly name, Jesus, was a demon. Isn't that something? Does that give you kind of a willies? I mean, he's around all these religious people, around all these other people, and he's been in the synagogue, and there are rabbis there, and there are members of the Sanhedrin there, and they say, this is Joseph's son, but here's a demon who says, this is Jesus of Nazareth. We know you. We know who you are. We know where you came from. And listen, he said, following that statement, and thou art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God, Jesus. A demon had more sense than the religious crowd of that day. And they still got more sense because the Bible says the devil fears and trembles at that name. What a name. Praise God. The demons knew him. You know why? Because they knew that he had fashioned them. He'd spoke them into existence. He had consigned them to where they were. And he did have the power to destroy them, to annihilate them if he wanted to. Thou art Jesus, the Holy One of God. Boy, they knew who Jesus was. They called him Jesus. They identified him. They recognized him. If you go a little further, and I won't turn to the passage of Scripture now, but in chapter number 8, you remember the story? There's a boy that you couldn't handle. He was full of demons. He had been rebellious, and they tried to fetter him, tried to put chains on him. He'd break the chains like they were nothing. And he was exiled to an island of the Gadareans. And the Bible said that he went through those tombs and screamed all night long, and he cut himself, and no man could control him. No man could contain him. And Jesus pulled up one day with a boat and bumped up to that island, and immediately they said, something's happened. And they ran out, and this young man full of those demons, and the demons cry out to him, and they holler at him, and they say the same thing that this demon did. Thou art the Holy One of God. You're the Holy One of God. They recognize Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God. Oh, Jesus is he's God incarnate in human flesh. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He's the Holy God. He's God incarnate in human flesh. He is the one who came to give his life for us, a sacrifice for our sin. The only person, the first person I found in the Bible that addressed him as Jesus is a demon, because they know him. They've known him from way back out in the garden. From the first time they had any consciousness, they knew he was the sovereign of this universe. They knew he was in control. And wherever he was at was trouble for them. Can I tell you, it's still the same. Praise God. He ain't a bit worried. Oh, you think some people pictured it like this. Here's the devil and here's Jesus. And boy, they're fighting. You know, it's back and two. Kind of like Rocky and Apollo and all that business. Back and two. And after a while, Jesus will finally win. It ain't even been no contest. Can I tell you? Anytime he wanted to, he could just squish him under his feet. They're no match for him. They know that. He's God. And whatever's going on in your life, you don't face a problem. Whatever it's Satan or whatever it is, it's Jesus is not the answer. Jesus will take care of that problem because he is the Son of God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Oh, yes, he's able. Johnny Cook was telling me the other day that he saw a picture somewhere and a little write-up about it, and it was a picture of a chess match. And it's Satan, Jesus, sitting on a chessboard. And the title of the painting is Checkmate. And the devil's made that move, and he's got Jesus. And somebody said that there was some famous chess player that went and studied that painting. And where that artist who knew a lot about painting didn't know all there was to know about chess, evidently. And when he studied the positioning of the pieces on the board, he said, this is an inaccurate painting. And they said, why? He said, because Jesus has got one more move. And can I tell you, the devil thought he had him, but Jesus has got one more move. He's always a step ahead of the devil. He always knows exactly what's going on. And I got news for you. Whatever's coming your way, he's still got one more move for you. He's still got the answer to your problem. He's still got the answer to your need. Notice the second person I found in the Bible that called him by name. Turn over in the book of Luke to chapter number 17. Luke chapter 17. Here's the second person I found. Now, you may find some more. If you do, that's fine. And you can look through all the other things and help me with my sermon a little bit. But notice in John chapter 17, here's the second person that I recognize, that I saw as they identified him by his given name. Notice what happened. Verse 11, John 17, verse 11. And it came to pass that as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. First person in the Bible called him by name was a demon. He knew where he was, and he knew they didn't have any chance of ever defeating him. They knew he was a sovereign. But here are the second people that call him by name. Or lepers. You know, of course, historically, there's no cure for leprosy. Leprosy is a horrible disease. Isaiah cried in Isaiah, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. That's a leper. You notice what the Bible said? It said it stood far off. When they were diagnosed with leprosy, everything they touched was burned. Their home was burned. They lost their livelihood. They lost their religious connections. They lost their affiliation with the family and friends. They had to be exiled, and they were doomed to die. And they had to wander out in the desert areas until their body literally rotted and they died. And every time they saw a person coming, they had to throw up their hands and say, woe is me, woe is me. And they wouldn't go near anybody because it was a terribly contagious disease, but it was a death sentence. They were dead men. The second person that addresses him by his earthly name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Was 10 people who had absolutely no hope in this world. And I'm going to tell you, when you get to the place when you don't have any hope, there's one name that you need to call. His name is Jesus. He's the master. He's in control. And besides that, notice he's a God of mercy. The second group of people that identify him, not just as sovereign, but as Savior. You know who gets mercy? People that don't deserve it. You say to me, Brother Billy, you don't know all I've done. I've really been through some stuff. I've done the most wicked things you'd ever imagine. I don't know all you've done. I don't need to know all you've done, but Jesus knows all you did. And he bore all your sin in his own body on that tree. And what he does in mercy is he gives you that you don't deserve. He gives you mercy. He extends mercy. You deserve to die and go to hell, but you don't get that because of his mercy. He'll save you and give you everlasting life. Boy, isn't it something that while the religious crowd called him the son of Joseph, called him this, that, and other, some people even called him a prophet, gave him that much consideration. These old lepers said, you're the master. Boy, he's the master. He's the master of the sea. Remember that old song? He's the master of the sea. He's the master of whatever's going on in your life. He's the one in control. Notice another one, if you will, please. The next one I found that identified him as that is in the same book, just one chapter over. Chapter number 18. And I want you to look, please, at verse 38 and following. And it came to pass, as he was nigh unto Jericho, behold, a blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The third person in the Bible that ever called him by his earthly name was a blind man that couldn't see him with his physical eye. But he saw him with his heart. He saw him with what he really needed to see him with. He saw him as the son of David. Listen, those demons recognized him as the sovereign. Here, we saw the lepers recognized him as the Savior. But when you come to this passage of Scripture, he said he's son of David. He is the royalty. He's king. He is the king. That babe born in that manger in Bethlehem, he's not just a carpenter's son. He's not just a good man. He's not just a prophet. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he can do anything he wants to. He can even heal a leper. And he can open blind eyes that they can see. And they tried to get him to shut up. They tried to get him to be quiet. And they said, the Bible said, when they did that, he cried out no more. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And my dear friend, Jesus restored his sight. Jesus touched him and he received his sight. Verse 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Oh, listen. Jesus, thou shalt call his name Jesus. But everybody don't see him. Everybody don't know him by his real name. They don't. They talk about him. They discuss him. They argue about him. But according to what I found in this Bible, there were very few who ever addressed him as Jesus. Lepers saw him as, the demons saw him as Jesus because they knew him from way back when. They knew he was God's son. He's the Holy One of Israel. And the lepers saw him. And they said, this is Jesus. He's the Savior. And then this blind man saw him as the son of David. He saw him as the king, the ruler, who's in charge of everything. Can I tell you right now? If you're on his side, you're on the winning side. I don't care. You say, well, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm another. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is the one in control. And if you know him, what a blessing. When he does something for you, you ought to give him praise. I don't know if he's ever done anything for you or not, but he's done a lot for me. And I want to just give him praise this morning that if he gave me of all my sin, gave me everlasting life, gave me a wonderful family, and gave me an opportunity to pastor this church, and gave me an extension on life that I could serve him till I die. There's no other name like that name. Knowing about him is not enough. Believing that he existed is not enough. You must believe on him. Believe on him and trust him as your personal Savior. I want you to bow your heads for prayer. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Oh yeah, he's a healer. He's a great teacher. He's taught the truth of the Word of God and taught God's principles of life. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from the sin. The word Jesus means Savior. He is a Savior. I want to ask you a question. You ever found yourself where blind Bartimaeus found himself? Hopeless, sitting by the roadside. Never seen the light of day. You ever been like a leper? Couldn't control what was going on in your life. It was just eating away at you and destroying you. You had no hope. You ever been there? They called his name Jesus, Master, Jesus, Jesus. It's not just a Bible word. A lot of people talked about him in the Bible. 1,000 times his name's mentioned. But when I started to find those who spoke to him directly as Jesus, I found people who had need. I found people who knew him, knew he was a God, knew he was eternal, knew that he had power, knew that he had mercy. They knew him. You say, Brother Billy, a lot of things about the Bible I don't know, but I know Jesus. Would you raise your hand? I know him. I know I cried, but I couldn't help myself, and he saved me. God bless you. Put your hands down. The Bible said Bartimaeus, when he gave him sight, he followed him. You get your sight back, you get your healing back, you ought to follow him. The leper, when he got healing, only one out of that 10 came back and praised him and thanked him. You ought to worship him. You ought to thank him. The Bible said that all that saw what had happened to those, to blind Bartimaeus, praised God. Your life's a testimony. Sometimes you don't have to say much. When they see what God's done in your life, they'll praise the Lord. Now, you won't get that by joining a Sunday school class. You won't get that by visiting occasionally church or being even faithful in your attendance church. But you get that when you know him and you recognize that name, which is above every name. What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus.